I want to talk a little bit about partnering with God today. For us to be partners with God and walk into all that God has in store for us. Anybody ever had a partnership before? Anybody? Come on. In business? Come on. Anybody? A few people? It's awesome. Partner, husband, wife? Come on. Yeah. Pretty cool. Anybody ever had a partnership that failed before? Come on. Yeah. Maybe the partner didn't do what the expectation was. Come on. If we have partnerships, the whole idea is we have a part and they have a part. And sometimes partnership doesn't work out because someone fails to do their part. Well, today I'm going to talk about being in partnership with God. And one thing you can count on is God will always do his part. And come on. And so if we enter into partnership and we do our part, we can expect God to do his part and lead us to the potential that he has in store for us. So we're going to talk in that vein today. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. I want to read this before I take off into the message today. Peter announced Jesus as the risen Messiah, the risen leader at the first church at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. He says it this way: God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Now, oftentimes we embrace Jesus as Messiah, but we don't embrace him as Lord. And I want to focus today on him being Lord of my life in this partnership, not just the liberator of my life. Though he's both, the Bible says that in the partnership that God wants to create with you and me, he wants to be both Lord and Messiah, leader and liberator, rescuer and restorer. Come on. And our part is to put faith in Jesus as both Lord and Messiah. Amen. And we're going to learn a little bit about what this means to our life today out of reading through an Old Testament story in the book of Exodus. Now, the book of Exodus is a picture of God liberating a group of people known as the Israelites from slavery, who had been held in captivity in Egypt for nearly 400 years. And the book of Exodus tells the story of this group of Israelites coming out of slavery and moving towards the promise that God had in store for them. But this story is told in history as a picture to all of us about what our life can be like with God if we will choose to partner with God. It's a physical story that actually happened, but what will happen in this story is, as we look at this story, it's as if God wants to tell us, if you really want to experience the fullness of life, then learn from this story and apply this story to your life here today. And the Bible says this in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. God says to Moses, the leader, he says, here's the deal. He says, I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, God says, I am aware of their suffering. In other words, there's nothing that we go through in life that God is not aware of. And the Bible goes on to say that God says about this group of people, I have come down to rescue them. Everybody say rescue. Rescue. I've come down to liberate them from the bondage, from the slavery, from the suffering, from the oppression. I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them. Everybody say lead. Lead. This is the second part, to lead them. That's what it means when the Bible says that Jesus is the Lord. That means he is the leader. So God says, what I want to do is I want to rescue you, and I also want to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. So again, this is what God said to Moses to tell the Israelite people that were in bondage. But this applies to our life today as the church and as the people of God in the same manner, because through Christ Jesus, the Bible says, God came on a rescue mission. He came to rescue humanity from the penalty and the power of sin. Sin simply means missing the mark of God's glorious standard for our life. And where human beings miss the mark, miss the target of God's standard for their life is in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says that God created man and woman in his image, in his likeness, to partner with him, to work with him, and to work here on earth with him in their life. And so the Bible says that the first man, the first woman, Adam and Eve, stepped away from that partnership. They trusted that you know what, it was about what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted to do with them. They wanted to do life their own way and go their own way. They stepped away from the partnership and the wheels came off for all human beings. Now, through Christ Jesus, God steps back in and says, I'm going to make a way for you to come back to the Creator. I'm going to rescue you from this world filled with sin, and you're going to be able to step into a relationship with me again. I'm going to liberate you from bondage through Christ Jesus, and you're going to be able to step back in this relationship. And if you would so dare do your part and trust me by faith and let me lead your life, be the Lord of your life, then I can take you in to the promised land. I can take you in to this land flowing with milk and honey. I can take you into this abundant life. Amen. So the secret to partnering with God is for us to operate by faith. Not just faith that he can rescue us from sin, but faith that he can lead us through the wilderness of life into the most amazing potential that he has in store for us. The Bible says this in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes, who trusts, who puts faith in him, will not perish. In other words, will not just dry up, will not waste away, but have eternal life. So when we put faith, belief that Jesus is who he says he is, he's both Lord and Messiah, liberator and leader, then we don't have to waste away. We have this thing called eternal life. It goes on to say in verse 17, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now that's an amazing passage of scripture, because if we can put our heart around what Jesus came to do on a cross and through the power of the resurrection, it changes the game for us and we can move into our God potential. But what we tend to do is we tend to trust him for the rescue to bring us out from underneath the penalty of sin. But we don't allow him to lead our life so that we can have power over sin through the wilderness. And if we would allow God to be the leader and we be the follower, then amazing things could begin to happen in our life, actually even in the life of the church and through the church in the world. It could change everything. God is looking to lead, and he asks us to follow him by faith. And we live in a culture where everybody wants to be the leader, don't they? But you know what? To be a good leader, you got to first and foremost be a good follower. And again, the question is, are you a good follower? Are you letting God lead your life, or is something else leading your life? And I think we can answer that question today for each and every one of us. Am I trusting God to lead, or is something else leading by kind of walking through the story of the Israelites' journey? Because again, God heard their cry. God came to their rescue. God basically delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, from the Egyptians. He brought them out. He saved them. He rescued them. He liberated them. But You know what? Many of these people failed to enter into the most amazing promise that God had for this group of people because they didn't follow the leadership of the Lord's hand. And I wonder today if you're not reaching your potential because you're failing to follow the leadership, you've just basically trusted him for the liberation. And believe me, the liberation is very important. It's significant. But here at Valorous Church, we're not only trying to liberate people by announcing that Jesus came to be your liberator and the power of the way he did that through the cross. We're also trying to get people on board with letting God be the leader of their life so that we can be partners with him and do what our assignment is in the world. You want to know why the world's so chaotic? Everybody's trying to do a different assignment. Everybody's not living for the same purpose. Everybody's not going in the same direction. And this is what happened with the Israelites. They began to be very chaotic, and they didn't get to enter into the most amazing promise that God had in store for them because they chose to not follow the lead of God. Come on, somebody. And they chose to follow their own thought process. And I think sometimes when we follow our own thought process, we miss so much about what God wants today. So again, some enemies of God's leadership in your life is number one, I wrote it down this way, is always trying to take the shortcuts instead of following the process. See, God is a God of process. He's not just a God of shortcuts. God can basically save you instantaneously. He can rescue you in an instant, in a moment, through the power of Jesus. But what God does is he develops you through a process. And again, we live in a culture where everybody wants to take the shortcut, the short way. And I want to show you something about God in this passage of scripture through the book of Exodus that is amazing and helps us understand this. It says it this way, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, because of God's amazing power and his deliverance of them, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory. And here's why. Even though it was the shortest route, everybody say shortest. It was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if my people, if they are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. And the Bible goes on to say, so God led them in the roundabout. Everybody say roundabout. The roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. See, God's way sometimes seems like the roundabout way because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we are trained in our mind, and especially in this culture, take the shortcut. Put it in the microwave. You know what? Make it happen fast. Instagram, right? It's Insta and it's a gram. It happens now, in a flash, in a moment. And see, God works differently. Because what God's doing is he's working, I like to say it this way, he's working Egypt out of you. Amen. And he's putting himself in you to take you on a journey in a process so you can trust him every step of the way. He wants to be the leader of your life. But if you're constantly trying to take shortcuts instead of embracing the process, maybe God knows something that you don't. And maybe we need to embrace his leadership and see what he wants to do. Oh, I'm the world's worst. I want to get there in a hurry, as fast as I can go. And you know, sometimes God has a roundabout way, a detour, because there's things that are in the way that's going to stop us from getting to where we need to be. I mean, how many of you have ever gone on a trip and you had to take the roundabout way? And you said, no, Maybe it's a wife traveling with her husband. He says, I know a shortcut. But the sign says, detour this way. Yeah, but if we go that way, then it's going to take a lot longer because I know the way. And I've been this way before, so I'm going to take the shortcut. But maybe the bridge is out and you get up there on the shortcut. You're going to have to turn around. You're going to have to make the detour. And you have to come all the way back if you're going to get to where you need to be. Maybe there's something in the way. Maybe there's something out ahead of you on the journey that you cannot see. But you got to embrace God by faith and trust him in the process. And some of us want instant success, instant fame, instant gratification. I need you to know that's what sin is. Sin is instantaneous a lot of times. And it gratifies my flesh instantly. It feels good now. And what God says is there's a process. And I will work things out of you and work new things in you on this journey if you'll trust my lead. So the question for all of us is today, have we first and foremost trusted God for the rescue through Christ Jesus? But secondly, are we trying to take shortcuts with our life? Are we trusting God in the process? Are we trusting that he's working some things out and working some new things in? The next thing I wrote down about trusting God on this journey as my leader is not only am I always trying to take shortcuts, but am I giving in to the chatter? Wow. See, this kept people from following God. This group of people, they were all rescued. They were all saved. They were all delivered from Pharaoh's hand. They were all brought out of Egypt. But along the journey, they begin to chatter. Everybody say chatter. Backbite. Talk about all kinds of things that didn't matter about where they were going. And as they begin to complain and they begin to chatter, the enemy moved in and stopped the progress. See, I wonder how many times we're just chattering about some things that really don't need to be chattered about, and God wants to give them to us anyway, but we allow the enemy to move in on our life. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, you can go and read the story. The Bible says as they came out of Egypt, soon they became thirsty and they wanted some water. And instead of asking God by faith, bring of some water, they begin to chatter about what they didn't have, complain about what they didn't have. And the Bible says they wanted to go back to Egypt. Has it ever occurred to you that God may have created thirst in your life for a reason? That maybe he created thirst in your life so that you would thirst after him. Jesus said, I'm living water. And if you just keep filling up on this natural water, you're not going to thirst after me and my leadership in your life. I'm creating thirst in you. Maybe something is coming to your life, not so you can complain about it, but so you can connect to God through it. And he come and he hit a rock and begin to supply the living water you need to move forward. I'm telling you right now, complaining does nothing but make you want to go back to Egypt. Complaining and chatter does nothing but stop the progress of God. And the Bible says that the Amalek army says it this way in that same chapter. It says that because they were sitting around complaining, the Amalek army, they came to them at Rephidim and they were attacked by this Amalek army and many, many people were lost in that particular day. Why? Because instead of embracing what God had said, they gave into the chatter and the complaining of all the things going on around them. See, I don't know if, you know what, you're a good follower or not. I can only look at my own self, but at the end of the day, We have to be a good follower in order to be a good leader. And what I'm inviting you to do, employee, is stop chattering about all the things that are going wrong in the business. Come on. And embrace maybe what the leader is saying so you can move forward. So some of you are students. You're getting ready to go back to school. It's easy to start chattering about what you don't have. Well, maybe if you embrace what you do have and you begin to listen to your teacher in a great way and believe that she is for you and not against you. I'm not saying do everything your teacher says. I'm not saying that always. But if she's trying to help you, stop chattering about what she's trying to do for you. And maybe she's trying to build something in you instead of tear something out of you. When people challenge us, oftentimes we're like, well, you don't like me anymore. You don't love me anymore. No. God challenges because God sees more in you than he can see in yourself. And he knows you'll become complacent and begin to complain about what you don't have if he doesn't challenge you with thirst in your life. I really believe that God creates thirst in our spirit sometimes. In other words, he don't deliver what I want. He delivers what I need. Because if he delivered what I wanted, I wouldn't move forward. But if he delivers what I need, come on, then I can begin to take steps forward with my life. Lastly, enemy of leadership in our life oftentimes is God's leadership in our life, is this thing called doubt. Everybody know what doubt is? Well, the enemy loves to put doubt in place for you not to believe God's promise. And again, Peter announced that Jesus is both liberator, Messiah, and Lord, and a leader. He's both. He's Lord and Messiah, and he's trying to take you somewhere. But oftentimes, the enemy places doubt. I mean, how in the world can you reach your full God-given potential if you go to church? I mean, the church isn't doing anything. That's just our thought process sometimes. It's not accomplishing anything. Where church is your opportunity, my friend. Church is your opportunity to become a part of a community and unify with God's people who have all been rescued and travel together, come on, and take hold of the promise that God has for us. But oftentimes, we begin to focus on ourselves. We begin to focus on the things around us, and the enemy begins to create this doubt in our mind. And oftentimes, we don't enter into that amazing, amazing promise. He did it through the Israelite community. That's what happened. The enemy used the Israelite community to not operate by faith, put doubt in people's life. And the Bible says that many people in that community, they were rescued, but they never experienced the promise. I wonder how many people through the years and through the ages have been rescued from the bondage of sin through Christ Jesus, his death, his shed blood, his incredible gift, but they haven't partnered with God for them to be led into this most marvelous, incredible life. See, it's what happened to the Israelite people. The Bible says that Moses sent 12 spies, one from each of the tribes of the whole community, in to explore the land, and 10 of them came back and began to spread a bad word. A word of doubt. We can't have what God says. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says, they came back and said, no, here's the deal. If God said it, we can do it. It is what God says. And all of them says it is what God says. However, there's giants in the land is what 10 of them said. And we can't have it because of the giants. And they begin to spread these seeds of doubt in these people's mind, and these people miss their potential. My friend, I want to be the kind of church that partners with God and not a church that spreads doubt, seeds of doubt among its people. But a church that says, like Joshua and Caleb, God created you for promise. God created you for abundant life. And you know what? You need to refuse to stay on the shore side of deliverance from the bondage of sin. And you need to let God's leadership speak into your life. You need to trust the process. You need to get rid of the chatter. And you need to follow God all the days of your life, even when you cannot see it. Because faith isn't seeing. Faith is believing what God said over what you see. And I meet with people all week long. I don't really know if God can do this and God can do that, because God isn't fixing this or that. God may never fix this or that, but God said he can give you the abundant life. God said, he can fix it, but he may not fix it. But you're depending on the wrong thing. You're depending on God to fix a problem instead of trusting God in the process to take you into the abundant life. My friend, it's called a life of faith. It's called trusting God with your heart. It's called letting God lead your life. And the church today, throughout the world, is sometimes stagnant. We're not allowing God to lead. We're not allowing God with these wonderful gifts that he's given each and every one of us to take those gifts and apply it to his community and his family and do amazing things. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept the marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. I wonder how many people are ignoring God's wonderful gift. And God's saying, look, I want to do a marvelous work through you. But by faith, you got to take that gift of salvation in my kindness, and that gift I placed inside of you. And you got to partner it up with other people, and you got to partner it up with me and other people and see what I can do. I think some of us sometimes don't see God do marvelous work because we refuse and we ignore the gift of his amazing kindness. Jesus has shown and lavished kindness upon all people. And all we have to do is receive it by faith and walk in it by faith. But my friends, sometimes that's difficult because the enemy tries to lie about God as being a liberator, and the enemy tries to lie about God being the leader. The enemy's not gonna go away just because you've been liberated from sin. As a matter of fact, he's gonna intensify. He's gonna make you doubt more and more and more and more. And the only way to really keep going by faith is to get into God's word and trust his voice over all the other voices. There's some loud cultural voices screaming right now. It's screaming everywhere. And those loud voices are drowning out the voice of God. Church, God says, if you will hear my voice, I will lead you into the amazing promise. Let's embrace his voice and see what he can do. Let's partner with God. He's the creator. He's the amazing one. He's the one that will transform your life and liberate you and lead you into your full God potential. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. Jesus, I thank you for not only being a liberator, not only bringing me out of the bondage of sin, but giving me the power of your spirit so I can be coached and challenged all the days of my life to keep moving through the wilderness. And God, as I move, may I embrace your promise. You are more than enough. You are abundant. You are magnificent. You are greater than any challenge we may face as a community or as individuals. And God, I pray you would be the Savior. God, you would be the one that satisfies our heart, and you would be the one that builds us into something amazing. God, you are the God of process. You are the God of deliverance, and I pray we would trust you all the days of our life. there's one here today that is trying to do it on their own. They're trying to come out of a certain situation, a certain struggle by themselves. God, I pray today they would put their faith in Jesus. They would recognize that Jesus came to forgive and he came to remove them from that bondage. And he wants to work that stuff out of them. He wants to work himself into them. He wants to lead them on the journey. But God, they got to trust you every step of the way. So God, would you speak to their heart today? If they haven't trusted you yet, would you begin to show them the power of Jesus, what he did on a cross and through the resurrection, and what he begins to do in his church and in his family and his people? God, I pray that your people would enter the rest of the promise. That God, we wouldn't be stagnant, we wouldn't just wander around, but we would see you, an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God, do amazing things through your church. And we pray it today in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.